Well, let's do it again. Let's give the Lord praise tonight. He's worthy of it. I love you tonight, Jesus. I praise you tonight, Jesus. Oh, I worship you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel your presence. You're in this place tonight, God. We give you glory. We give you honor tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Well, it feels good in God's house on a Friday night. Amen. Thankful for his presence. Thankful for his spirit. Amen that we feel. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And while you are turning there, let me say what a great honor it is to be back in Augusta, New Life Tabernacle. Amen. It's certainly our honor to be here this weekend. Give honor to your pastor and his wife and their family. Amen. We thank God for them and looking forward to just spending time together. Yes. Amen. Yes. And believing God for great things. Amen. Believing God for great things. Amen. We have not gathered tonight in vain. It's never in vain when we gather in God's house. Amen. But I believe that God has come and he is going to be here all weekend long to do great things. Amen. I want him to do whatever he wants to do. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's begin reading tonight with verse 20. The Apostle Paul writes and says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now unto him that is able. Somebody say, God's able.
God's able.
To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. I want to preach tonight for just a few moments from this subject, what God cannot do. What God cannot do. Amen. Would you set your Bibles down? Let's pray together. Jesus, I love you. I thank you, God, for this night. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. I thank you for the Spirit of God that we feel. I'm asking you now, in these next few minutes that we have together, that you would anoint me to preach your word. I pray you would anoint every heart to receive the word of God tonight. Let our hearts be open. Let our minds be open. Let our spirits be open. Let the word of God find good ground, I pray. Let your perfect will be done. We will forever give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. For you alone are worthy of it. We love you tonight. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. And you may be seated. I want to begin tonight by telling you that my God can do anything. There is nothing that my God cannot do. He is greater than any sin. He is greater than any addiction. He is greater than any sickness or disease. He is greater than any relational issue. He is greater than any financial distress. He is greater than any circumstance or any situation, any trouble or trial. My God can do anything. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that he cannot do. Oftentimes when we talk about the greatness of our God, his majesty, his glory, his splendor, we use terms like he is omniscient. Omniscient means he is possessed of universal or complete knowledge. We would say that God is all-knowing. And when we say that God is omniscient or that God is all-knowing, we mean that God has perfect knowledge of all things. He does not have to learn anything. It was the writer who would say in Isaiah chapter 40, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord?" Or, "Being his counselor, hath taught him." "With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding?" He does not have to learn anything. And he has not forgotten anything. God does not have to reason things out. He does not have to find things out. He does not learn them gradually like you and I do. He knows everything that has happened. And he knows everything that will happen. And he knows every potential thing that may happen. This kind of knowledge, it is absolute. It is unacquired. The omniscience of God means he has perfect knowledge, and he has perfect understanding, and he has perfect wisdom. The psalmist would declare in 147:5, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite," or "his understanding has no limit. His understanding is beyond comprehension. His wisdom cannot be measured. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth," and somebody tell me how high that is. Somebody measure that for me. Somebody give me in miles just how far, what the distance is between the heavens and the earth. And if you can, then you can measure the mercy of God. For the psalmist said, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." And just in case you're wondering, the mercy of God cannot be measured. If it could, you wouldn't be here tonight. If it could, I wouldn't be here tonight. It took mercy that could not be measured to save my soul. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above my ways and your ways, and his thoughts above your thoughts and my thoughts. The Apostle Paul would say in Romans 11, "Oh, the depth." We've talked about the height. Let's talk about the depth. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." It was the writer of Hebrews who would say, "For the word of God, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner." Only God can do this. Only the word of God can do this. It's a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. And then the very next verse would say, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." This omniscience of God, this all-knowingness of God, you hear me on this Friday night, it's not just a macro omniscience. It's not just a universal omniscience. It's not like he knows everything that's happening way up there, but he doesn't know down here. He knows, yes, he does. He knows the number of stars that are flashing in the heavens tonight. He calls them all by their name. But it's a lie of the enemy that would want to convince you that he's too busy running a world to be concerned about you and I on this Friday night in Augusta, Kansas. But can I remind you tonight, not only does he know the number of stars, but he knows the number of hairs that are on your head. This omniscience of God, it's not just a universal omniscience. It's not just a macro, it's a micro level omniscience. Yes, he's running a world. Yes, he's running the universe, but he cares about you. He's concerned about you. He's interested with you. What's going on in your world? Oh, yes, he is. Oh, I feel his presence even now. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy that says he doesn't care. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy that says he's not concerned, that he's not interested in your world, in my world, in your circumstance, and in your situation. David would personalize the omniscience of God. I want you to notice this. He would say, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me, and you have known me. You know my down sitting, and you know my uprising." He's speaking on behalf of all humanity. He would say, "You understand my thoughts far off. You compass my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You have beset me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me." Me, 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 mine, mine, my, me. He would say, when I stop and consider this, in another place he would say, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength and praise." And then he would say, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the sun, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man? What is man that you are even mindful of him, God?" When I step outside on this night and I look up and I consider the vast expanse of a universe that is ever expanding and ever growing and ever increasing, when I consider it, God, and then I look at me, just little old me, and I look up and I see that and just how great it is, and I think about me, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that, God, you would even visit him? And yet the psalmist would say, "You know me, you have searched me, you know my down sittings, you know my faults and my failures, you know my foibles, you know me, God, you know my uprisings, you know my good days, you know my high times." He would say, "You understand my thoughts." And when I think about this, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. We talk about the greatness of God, we use terms like he is omnipresent, which means that he is present in all places at all times. We would say that he's an all-present God. Sure. When we say that he's an all-present God, we mean that in every place in the universe, God is present. You won't find one place, you won't find one dark corner where God is not. He's everywhere. We don't mean that God's form is spread out so that parts and pieces of Him are in every location. That's not what we're talking about. We don't mean that He's stretched so thin that He's got one hand resting on the sun and another hand resting on the moon. Or He's got one leg in the Americas and He's got another leg in Africa. That's not what we're talking about. God is a spirit. We understand that tonight. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what Jesus said to that little lady at Jacob's well. She had come to draw water for the day. She had come by herself in the middle part of the day, and she found Jesus sitting on the well, and He would say, "Give me to drink." And she would say, "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans don't get along together." And Jesus would say, "If you only knew who I was, and if you only knew the gift of God, it wouldn't be me asking you for a drink of water. It would be you asking me for a drink of water. For whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well." You don't have to come to the well. The well is living on the inside. Monday morning, there's a well on the inside. Tuesday morning, there's a well on the inside. Wednesday morning, there's a well on the out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. She would say, "Give me this water." He would say, "Go call your husband." She would say, I don't have one. He would say, "You're right. You don't. You've had five. And the man you're living with is not your husband." She would say, "I perceive you're a prophet." She would find out He was much more than a prophet. She would say, "I know that Messiah is coming. And when He's come, He will show us all things." And Jesus would say, "I that speak unto thee am He." And their conversation would turn toward worship. She would say, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus would say, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming. And even now is. Even now it is. When you won't worship in this mountain. There's coming an hour where here we are tonight on a Friday night, 2023. We are thousands. I wouldn't want to be there tonight even if I could. Thousands of miles away from that mountain. We are thousands of years removed from that day. And yet here we sit in Augusta, Kansas on a Friday night in 2023 worshiping the one true living God. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when the true worshipers are going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Then He would say, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. He has no physical form or being. A spirit cannot bleed. A spirit cannot die. God is a spirit. He is present everywhere, in that everything is immediately in His presence. It's not parts and pieces of God here and there. It's not like His eye is on us and His ear, well, it's tuned in over here. That's not the way it works, but all of God. I want you to catch this tonight. All of God. All right now. All of God is in that furthest planet. All of God is in that furthest galaxy. All of God, it's in that furthest star. All of God is on that highest mountain. All of God is in that deepest part of the ocean. All of God is in the far-flung corners of the world. All of God right now. All of God is in Africa. And all of God is in South America. And all of God is in Europe. And all of God is in North America. And all of God.
God is in the United States, and all of God is in Kansas, and all of God is in Augusta, and all of God is a New Life Tabernacle on a Friday night. It's not a part of God. It's not a piece of God. It's not like His mercy is here and His grace is there. It's not like His kindness is here, but His compassion is there. It's not like His healing is here, but His salvation is there. But all of God, His healing is here. His presence is here. His power is here. His grace is here. His goodness is here. His kindness is here. His faithfulness is here.
All of God. That same psalmist who wrote about the omniscience of God, in that same psalm, he would write about the omnipresence of God. He would say, "Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand's going to lead me. And your right hand's going to hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the night shall be light about me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness, it doesn't hide from you, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light, they're both alike to you." It doesn't matter if we're talking about space. It doesn't matter if we're talking about speed. It doesn't matter if we're talking about darkness. Nothing, nobody will ever be able to escape from the omnipresence of God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you close it up. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. It doesn't matter if you close the eyes of the Lord are in every. It doesn't matter if you lock the door and turn the lights out. It's just you alone by yourself. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil. But not just the evil. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good. If your heart is set on evil, you have every reason to fear. You have every reason to be afraid. You have every reason to shake in your boots. But if your heart is perfect, if your heart is set on pleasing God, if your heart, you're just doing your best, you're just doing what you know to do is right, then you've got every reason to be encouraged on this Friday night, because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, so He can show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward God. The omniscience, the omnipresence of God is nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be fearful of. Hear me. The omniscience of God, all that means to me is He knows where I'm at. He knows, not just geographically. He knows that. He knows where I'm at right now. But He knows where I'm at. He knows the situation I'm in. He knows the circumstance I'm facing. He knows the trial that I'm walking through. He knows. If I'm on the mountaintop, He knows. He knows the good days. But if I'm having some bad days, He knows. He knows the valley. He knows the valley that I'm walking through. He knows. It's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy that wants to convince you and I that God does not know. But I rise on this Friday night to tell somebody to beat back the buzzards and to tell somebody that God knows. God knows. He knows the trial that you're in. He knows every tear you have shed. He knows the sleepless nights that you faced. He knows. He's acquainted. And the omnipresence of God lets me know that I'm not walking this road by myself. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. But he's with me. He's with me on the mountain. And he's with me in the valley. He's with me when I'm up. And he's with me when I'm down. He's with me when I'm high. And he's with me when I'm low. He's with me when there's a smile on my face. And he's with me when there's tears dripping off my eyes. He's with me. He's with me. He's with me. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you always. Even to the end of the world. I feel the presence of God here right now. His omniscience, his omnipresence. And then there's his omnipotence. We love that. It means he's all powerful. All powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. And he's all powerful. Yes. What further proof of that do you need than the very words of Jesus himself? When he would say, all power. And all means all. All wasn't rounding up. All means all. Not 95, not 99, not 99.999. When he says, I've got all, that means I've got all. That means nobody else has any. The devil has none. Outside of what's allotted to him. By the man who has all. By the God who has all. All power. What further proof do you need than the words of Jesus? The red letter words of Jesus. All power in heaven. And not just in heaven. But in earth. I've got power in heaven, yes. But I've got it in earth as well. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. It was after 77 or so questions. Questions like, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Answer that one. Who laid the measures thereof, if you know? Who stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars set? Imagine how Job felt after about 3 or 4 questions. He felt about that tall. As he realized the only answers to these are, where was I? I wasn't even here yet. And who? The answer to all your who's is you. Who laid the measure thereof? Who fastened it? Who laid the cornerstone? It was you, 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 you. And then questions like, have you commanded the morning since your days? Have you caused the day spring to know its place? Have you entered into the springs of the sea? Have you walked in the search of, in case you're wondering, the answer to these questions was no, 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 no. Have the gates of death been opened unto you? Have you seen the door
bars of the shadow of death? Have you perceived the breadth of the earth? Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? And finally, Job said, God, stop. I get it. I understand. I know my place. I ran my mouth. Things that I didn't even know what I was talking about. And God looked down from heaven and said, oh no, big boy, I heard you and your three friends. You tried to sit around and figure me out, plug me into your little calculator and try to come up with the answer. I listened to it for 30-something chapters, almost 40 chapters. And no, Job, answer me. Gird your loins up like a man. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want some answers. Will you disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me so you can be righteous? Do you have an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like him? And finally, when it was all said and done, Job said, God, I know one thing. You can do anything. There is nothing that is too hard for you. I've spoken of things I don't even understand. You can do anything.
Job said, I'm done. I'm done trying to plug you in. I'm done trying to figure you out. I've got it. Your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. It was Jeremiah who would say, ah, Lord God, behold, you made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm, and there is nothing that is too hard for you. And 10 verses later, God responded and said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for me? It's Luke 1 and 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. It's Mark 10 and 27, for with God all things are possible. It's Revelation 1 and 8, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty God. It was John who would say, I heard the voice of a great multitude. I heard the voice of many waters. I heard the voice of mighty thunderings. And here's what that voice said. He was writing from the end of time. He was looking back over all of time. And John would say, I heard a collective voice. And here's what that voice said. The voice said, hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, not Satan, not the devil, not my trial, not my trouble, not my circumstance, not my situation, but the Lord God, omnipotent, he reigns. He reigns. He reigns supreme. He reigns over all. I tell you tonight that God can do anything. I tell you tonight that my God can do anything. There is nothing that he cannot do. Let me tell you again, he's greater than any sin. He's greater than any addiction. He's greater than any sickness. Just telling you what I believe tonight. He's greater than any sickness or disease. My God is greater than fear. And my God is greater than depression. And my God is greater than anxiety. And my God is greater than cancer. And my God is greater than autoimmune disease. And my God is greater. He's greater than addiction. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater. There is nothing. You've come too late to tell me that my God's not a healer. You've come too late to tell me that my God's not a deliverer. You've come too late to tell me that my God's not a way maker. You've come too late to tell me that God doesn't answer to anything. We preach it. We preach it. But I'm afraid sometimes we preach it so often. I really wonder if we really believe it. Or is it just something to say so it elicits a response? Do you really believe it? He can do anything. He can do anything. You've come. I should be standing here tonight with a transplanted heart, born as a baby with a hole in my heart. But I stand here tonight. No scalpel, no stitch, no transplant, no open heart. As just a baby, I stand here. The church gathered around and prayed. Baby dedication Sunday. They prayed for me as the pastor, as my bishop, let the church know what was going on. The church began to pray, and it was in that moment that my mother felt the confidence in her spirit that God has reached in and He has done the work. And I stand here. Here I am, 38 years later, almost 39. No heart transplant, no open heart. You've come too late to tell me that God can't do anything. You've come too late to tell me He's not a healer. You've come too late to tell me He's not a deliverer. You've come too late to tell me He doesn't answer prayer. He can't do anything.
I believe it from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. He can do anything.
But I think I found something. I think I found something that God cannot do. Can I remind you of what He can do? He can create worlds. Just His word. They're not on some string tonight being held in place. But you know what's keeping everything rotating just right? It's His word. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He can create worlds with His word. He can part Red Seas. He can give manna. Coriander seed. 6 days out of seven. There's a rock that follows them. Whenever they're thirsty, they just go to the rock. They're wearing clothes that never wear out. And grow as they grow. That never wear thin shoes and grow as they grow. That's what my God can do. He can make the sun stand still. And we read that. But it was more than just sun standing still. It was earth standing still and moon standing still and galaxies. Everything came to a halt. When that sun stood still, my God did that. Your God did that. He can make fire fall from heaven. He can make the iron float. That's what He can do. You want the sun to go back 10 degrees? It can go back 10 degrees. That means everything else has to go back 10 degrees. He can shut the mouths of lions. Hungry lions. Hungry, hungry. When they pulled Daniel up out of that lion's den and they threw in his accusers, their mouths were opened. My God, shut the mouths of lions. Three Hebrew boys, throw them into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm throwing you in. It's seven times hotter. And they stood there and they said, oh king, you can give us another chance. We're not bowing to the God that you have erected. And listen, king, listen, throw us in the fiery furnace.
And if we perish, we perish. We don't know what our God's going to do. But King, just know this. He is able. He is able. If he wants to, he can. He is able to heat it up 100 times. Heat it up 1,000 times. He is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, just know that doesn't mean he can't. He can. If he doesn't, he's almighty. If he doesn't, he's sovereign. His ways are above our ways. But just know he's able to.
That's what my God can do. Nebuchadnezzar peered in and said, I see a fourth man. How many did you throw in? They said three. And it wasn't the ones that threw them in that said that. They were laying there, crispy critters. How many did they throw in? Three. I see a fourth. And he has a peculiar image. He doesn't look like any ordinary man. He looks like the Son of God. Call him out. Here they come. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Not one hair singed. They weren't missing eyebrows. They weren't missing the hair on their knuckles. You couldn't smell smoke on them. Not one hair singed. The smell of smoke was not on their garment. Because King, we serve a God who can. He can do anything. He can. You can't even comprehend what God can do. The writer said, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. You hear me tonight? New life. You can't even comprehend the revival that God wants to give you. You can't even comprehend the miracles that God wants to give you. You can't even comprehend the healing, the deliverance, the blessings of God. You can't pray big enough prayers. You hear me? You can't pray big enough prayers. It's time to start praying some big prayers. It's time to start praying some big prayers. And then when you end the prayer, you just say, God, blow my mind. God, I can't even articulate all that I want you to do. I'm just asking you, do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. It's time to start believing. It's time to start praying. It's time to start expecting God to do great things. Our minds. That's what my God can do. I'm almost done. In fact, musicians come. That's what my God can do. But I found something he can't. And I'm sorry. I hate to break the news. I found something he can't do. There is one thing. He can do anything. The writer of Hebrews said, chapter 6, he said, it is impossible. Jesus. A God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He said, it is impossible for God. I thought he could do exceeding abundantly above all. It is impossible for God. Jesus. Here it is. To lie.
Yeah. That's right.
He couldn't if he tried. He couldn't if he tried.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
He cannot lie. I don't know. Is it 8:30 maybe on a Friday night? But if God says, It's high noon Saturday. I don't know what would happen. You and I would exit out of that little time capsule and say, I'm tired. Because the sun would be high and it'd be high noon Saturday. Because God said it. And He cannot lie. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. The doctor's looking at the report saying, it's there. It's right there. There it is. I see it. It's cancer. I just heard this the other day. It's cancer of the esophagus. But the church began to pray. The report I heard was the mass had fallen off. They tested it. It was cancer. But God said, I don't see cancer. I don't see cancer. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. God cannot lie.
Oh, hallelujah.
Everybody stand.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You know what that means? That means if He gave you a word, if He gave you a promise, revival, it's a promise. It's a promise for this church. Revival, revival. He cannot lie.
Yes.
He cannot lie. If He promised lost loved ones are coming home, I've come to preach to you on this Friday night. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil rob you of that promise. God cannot lie. He can do anything but lie. He can do anything but lie. The psalmist would say, forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in the heavens. Jesus would say, heaven and earth will pass away. But My word, it will never pass away. I'm done. He told His disciples, He said, I'm going away. I'm going away. But I'm coming back. Go tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's what He said. What He said. They gathered in that upper room. There they waited, they prayed, they tarried. One day turned to two, and two to three, and three to four, and four to five, and they were praying, and they were waiting, they were singing, they were testifying, they were waiting. And if you were to ask Him on this Friday night, Simon Peter, did he lie? Doubting Thomas, did he lie? James, did he lie? Did he leave you? Did he come? They would say, oh, yes, He did. Oh, yes, He did. That day of Pentecost, it came. It came. Like a mighty rushing wind, it filled all the house. There was cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of us. And we were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And we began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God came. The God who walked among us for 3.5 years, that God, He came to live on the inside of us. He kept His word.
Hallelujah.
He kept His promise.
Yes, yes,
He knows where you're at tonight, sir. Feel the Holy Ghost. He knows where you're at tonight, man. He knows what you're facing. He hasn't left you. He hasn't left you. He will come to you. Would you lift your hands and lift your voices with me right now? Go ahead, lift your voices, lift your hands. I feel the presence of God here right now. Shatalada As Sister Cowan begins to sing and play, I'm going to open this altar on this Friday night. Is there anybody who just wants to step out from where you're standing? Come with your hands raised. Come with your voice lifted.
My name.
He knows where you're
in
at.
In every step that
he
I take. Every move that I make.
He knows the valley
every
that you're walking through
that
right
I
now.
Cry.